The Lord be with you.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Since the Passover of the Jews was near, Jesus went to Jerusalem. He found in the temple area those who sold oxen, sheep, and doves, as well as the money changers seated there. He made a whip out of cords and drove them all out of the temple area with the sheep and oxen, and spilled the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. And to those who sold doves, he said, "Take these out of here and stop making my Father's house a marketplace." His disciples recalled the words of Scripture, "Zeal for your house will consume me." At this, the Jews answered and said to him, "What sign can you show us for doing this?" Jesus answered and said to them, "Destroy this temple, and in 3 days I will raise it up." The Jews said, "This temple has been under construction for 46 years, and you will raise it up in 3 days?" But he was speaking about the temple of his body. Therefore, when he was raised from the dead, his disciples remembered that he had said this, and they came to believe the scripture and the word Jesus had spoken. While he was in Jerusalem for the feast of Passover, many began to believe in his name when they saw the signs he was doing. But Jesus would not trust himself to them because he knew them all and did not need anyone to testify about human nature. He himself understood it well. The Gospel of the Lord.
Jesus Christ.
The Lord be with you. We're almost halfway through Lent. We're getting there. As I said a few weeks ago, it's not exactly my favorite season of the year, but we're on our way to Holy Week. And we've asked in our messaging a few questions over the last few weeks, or invitations to rise above the ashes, to go up the mountain, to go out to the desert. And today there's sort of a twofold idea going on here. The first reading invites us to leave slavery in Egypt, and we're on our way to the temple of the living God. So I wanted to first begin a little bit about that Egypt and slavery imagery. It's so powerful, and it's a beautiful part of the Old Testament. Moses really had his hands full with the Israelites. He had been kind of saved from slavery in Egypt, and because of different reasons, he had to escape from the Pharaoh, and he went off out into the countryside and ended up finding a home. There was a man there, Jethro, who became his father-in-law. Moses was married, children. He had a pleasant, simple life. And then one day he's walking out there with the sheep and the goats and just doing a normal day's walk, and he encounters the burning bush. And God asks him to do something that was really hard. "Moses, will you leave your comfort behind and go back to the place of danger where Pharaoh is? And will you save my people? Will you be my instrument?" You see, Moses had to give up, you know, a comfortable, easy life for something not so easy, but he did it, and he got no thanks for it from anyone. He's out there, and he manages to finally get the people out of Egypt. They're 3 days' walk, and the people start getting hungry, and the Israelites had a way with words. They were like, "Moses, we're hungry," and they're looking back to Egypt, and they're saying, "If we only had our leeks and onions back in Egypt." I don't know, but if you got to be really hungry to be craving leeks and onions, right? And they had another word. It was, you know, "If we could only be by our flesh pots back in Egypt." And I don't even know what that is, but it sounds like a stew or something. But, you know, they were there, and in slavery in Egypt was awful, but yet they wanted to go back. They had another funny thing to say. On the way, Pharaoh's coming with the chariots. They're all going to die. And so they just, in a sarcastic way, go to Moses and they say, you know, wasn't there enough dirt back in Egypt where they could bury us? We had to waste our time walking out here to be buried. You know, we could have saved ourselves the walk. And Moses just looks to heaven and, you know, these people, just for the sake of a little bit of food in their belly, were willing to go back to slavery. But like an awful, awful slavery where they were being slaughtered and tortured. Now, it would be probably a little arrogant for us to think that if we were back then, we would have been right there with Moses and not been like the Israelites, right? That's probably not right. Historically speaking, at least I'll talk for myself, if I was there, I'd probably be craving leeks and onions in some way. But we also do it today in English. I haven't found this phrase in any other country. We have a phrase. We talk about comfort food. Right? We have so many different types of food in our country that we have a category. Comfort food. What's the comfort food? It's stuff that's not really good for you, but it makes you feel good, you know? For me, it's like a pepperoni pizza, extra pepperoni, stuffed crust, or maybe a piping hot chicken pot pie. Those are kind of my comfort foods. Right? We go for them when we want a little, you know, feel better about ourselves. Or we have habits, you know, comfort habits. Like men, often we just kind of go to the man cave, you know, and go into the nothing box, right, and just kind of sit there. Or some might be tempted when they're stressed out a little bit to go shopping, right? And you don't even have to leave home. You can just sit on your couch and pull out Amazon and, you know, this and that. And I love reading theology books, so that's my comfort shopping, right? If you ever drive by the rectory and there's a bunch of Amazon boxes on the porch, I probably had a bad day the day before, so. You know, we also tell ourselves comfortable little lies. Comfortable little lies. And they're not always our fault that we've begun to believe certain lies in our life. In the 10 years I've been a priest, which isn't much, but it's also not little, so I've picked up a thing or two. And some of those lies, right there, I could make a list of them, but let me just give you the top two. The first one, typically for men, there's this lie that we tell ourselves that we have to earn God's love, that God's not proud of us, we're not good enough. Perhaps our father, as we were growing up, in his way of showing love was to always challenge us to do more. You know, you never scored enough points in the game, your report card was never perfect enough, and he thought he was just telling you, I think so highly of you, I know you can do better. But all we heard was, you're not good enough, I'm not proud. And then we project that onto God some way that he's not proud of me. I have to earn it, I have to be more successful, I have to do better, it's all about me. That can be a destructive lie. And another lie that we tell ourselves, probably more for women, is I'm not beautiful. That perhaps growing up, your father didn't say that often, or maybe some mean girl in high school said something to you, or something was done to you, and you feel not good enough, sinful, dirty, and somehow you think of God as looking at you that way. Those are lies that sometimes it's easy to admit them, but it takes a lifetime to get those out of our soul. We all kind of want to go back to Egypt sometimes, to the place of slavery. So how can we go to the temple to meet the living God? There's a lot of ways. I thought I would give you just two. As Catholics, we have an awesome grace of the sacrament of confession. And again, we have 10 hours a week, often more. Right now, it's even anonymous. Because of COVID, we have it all screened off and things. You can go in there and the priest will never know who you are, right? What a gift it is that Jesus told his apostles in the end of John's gospel, go into the world, baptize, and forgive sins. That's a beautiful way of pulling Egypt out of your heart and just getting rid of it. And the other one would be to pray for the gift of hope, something we can do right now. Hope is one of the theological virtues. I'm going to get a little theological here, right? There's a lot of virtues that we on our own willpower can acquire. If you want to be more punctual, it just takes a little effort. If you want to be honest and speak the truth, well, you just start doing that. But no one, for as much as you try, will ever be more full of faith, hope, or love. It's a gift from God. And so in your prayer, instead of praying for miracles or whatever it might be, say that prayer, Lord, fill me with your hope. So what does hope do for us, that gift we receive? Well, someone without hope, they look to the past and they see bitterness, they feel resentment because the past hurts, they were there, and they simply turn to tomorrow and they take those past hurts and they put it in the future. And we say if someone has baggage from the past, right? So despair, resentment, that's from when I look at the past and I interpret my future through that lens. Hope as a gift from God, it's when you ask him to give you that gift. He comes to you like a loving father. He puts his arm around your shoulder and he says, see the past? You see, I was here in this moment and this moment. And he starts to explain things to you in a new way, and you are filled with gratitude. And then the Father turns you around and says, look to the future. I want to show you the future the way I see it. Not the way you see it, but the way I see it. And you begin to dream the dreams of God for your life. And there's no more the baggage from the past, but that gratitude becomes something amazing. And maybe down the road, there's a few difficult chapters. But the last chapter that God's going to write is going to be awesome. And that's one of the beautiful gifts we have as Christians. We don't despair. We don't give up. We have meaning in our life. We know that tomorrow is going to be better, at least the last tomorrow. So this invitation today to go to the temple is to stop walking like an Egyptian, as the song says, and start walking in the light of a child of God. He is our Father, and he wants to take those lies out of our hearts so there's no more Egypt there, no more slavery to Pharaoh. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, the Holy Spirit, amen.